Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast, coming from Dallas, Texas, Los Angeles, and Sacramento, California. Here's Skylar Teo, Aaron Alvarado, and David Stauffer.
Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast. Joining me from Los Angeles, California, he's been running scams on the street since he was 10, because he's a scoundrel, Aaron Alvarado.
Oh, man, David. Let me just wipe the sleep out of my eyes. It is late right now. These are late-night podcasting hours.
Yeah. The latest, actually, we've ever podcasted.
But when we have a subject matter as important as the Han Solo teaser trailer, we do it at any hours. It doesn't even matter. We're so committed.
The people have been asking. It's ever since the the 45-second trailer teaser or trailer little treat.
It's more like
snack.
A slideshow. I think we can call that a slideshow.
So I'm gonna wet our whistle. Anyway, ever since the Super Bowl 45-second solo trailer came out, our brave little listeners have been asking, guys, when are you gonna record a pod on the trailer? What are your thoughts? You guys must have loved this.
We've talked about us. Yeah.
That's the thing, right? I mean, we are full of hot takes. And it's amazing because the hot take king out of the trio isn't even with us tonight because it's even an hour later. It's 1:30 in the morning in Texas where he is.
Yeah, he ejected very early into the process.
Yeah, But we will bring him back to talk in depth the Cloverfield movie, which we'll do a separate episode on. And can we just say, just quick aside, just how baller is it for Netflix to do what they did in this distribution?
Amazing move. Give them all the credit in the world. It got me to watch the movie. I probably wouldn't watch it otherwise. But yeah, brilliant move.
The stones of them, the stones of Netflix, to drop a trailer. The first trailer for this, the first images they've ever shown, the same day they dropped the full movie. Whew. And this isn't just like some Netflix original or thing. I mean, this is a third movie in a well-established film series at this point. The last one being a terrific film, I thought, 10 Cloverfield Lane. And they just dropped the Super Bowl ad being like, oh yeah, here's the new Cloverfield movie, and it's going to be available to stream after the Super Bowl. Like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, Hollywood, it just, you know, the theater distributors, Hollywood execs, they all look at that and they have to hang their heads because who else is innovating like that?
I mean, nobody has the guts. Nobody has the...
That's the thing. They don't.
The will to do something like that edgy. But I mean, that's why Netflix is Netflix, right? They do whatever they want, especially after the huge success of a movie like Bright.
Yes, which, I mean, it's successful because we're told it was, and I believe it was, but also Netflix doesn't release any data whatsoever.
Now, I know we're going to do a full in-depth thing, but you finished the movie, right? You finished the new Cloverfield Paradox?
I did.
Okay. Is it better than Bright? I just want to know your hot take.
No. So Bright embraced how bad and ridiculous it was. And I actually enjoy a movie that's like kind of self-aware and it also just goes for it. Like a gritty LAPD action film in the style of Bad Boys, but with orcs and elves along with the human. Like, on paper, that shouldn't work. But, like, how did they got Will Smith to do it? I mean, they got paid a lot of money.
I know. We didn't really talk about Bright, but...
No, we didn't. But it was surprisingly kind of enjoyable.
It really was. I don't even understand. If the movie was half an hour shorter, I would totally recommend it for anyone that likes silly movies like that. But for me, it's a little too long. But kind of enjoyable, oddly. So, yeah.
Well, I watched it primarily because I have an obligation to support the work of Friends of the Pod. And Joel Edgerton, just deep undercover in orc makeup, is in this film. And was, like, actually kind of weird, like, sneaky good. He actually played the annoying kind of, purist, moral purist cop, in a really effective way.
He was really good, actually. But the thing is, you could tell it was Joel Edgerton. Completely covered his face and put some sort of gag in his mouth for every line that he was delivering.
I think he was doing the Brando cotton under the. No, look, yeah, we'll talk about Cloverfield Paradox.
Paradox is not as good as Bright. Let's just be honest.
No, no. What's interesting too is our co-host Skylar and our occasional guest host B-Mort, both strongly disagree. I think with our take about Bright being better. I think like strongly disagree.
Oh yeah. I mean, they were over the moon for Paradox.
I will say my last thing I will say about Cloverfield though is it was getting skewered today on Rotten Tomatoes. Down to like an 11%. I definitely liked it more than that. It's almost like absurd how bad it's getting killed in the reviews because it's definitely watchable and it's definitely like an entertaining piece of content. But Bright has a special place in my heart. So
Paradox
Bright,
is one of the,
Bright is a terrible name for a film, but yeah.
Oh, it's god awful. It doesn't even make any sense considering I don't even understand what the connection is with the movie.
Bright is the thing they called the people that could hold wands.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. That's amazing.
Yeah,
okay.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's ridiculous. I mean,
that's really bad.
Make a Bad Boys 3. Just whatever. Yeah. Sorry, Martin Lawrence.
Yeah, so everybody go watch Cloverfield Paradox in preparation for our next episode.
Yes, yes. Aaron, we've been on the record for a while now about our concerns with this Han Solo film. For me, firstly, the fact that they're making a movie about the origin story of Han Solo, to me, was just a bad idea. And a story I was like just intensely uninterested in. Like, I don't need to know anything about where Han Solo came from before we meet him in the canteen in Mos Eisley in Star Wars. Like, he's the scoundrel that you don't know what his past was. And that kind of it was what makes Han Solo Han Solo. The idea of exploring that past, and gosh, I'm so terrified of what they're going to do to make us try it. Like, whatever emotional heartbreak he's going to have to makes him become the Han Solo that we already know just is not. I'm so uninterested in that. So,
well, yeah, part of his mystique is that there's the shadowy past. And when you shine a light on that shadowy past, he loses his mystique. So what is the point of doing it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Part of his. I mean, we only know little bits. We know he drops his cargo at the first sight of Imperial ships. Like, we know even Chewbacca. Now, we know a little bit more about, like, from canon and extended universe and yada yada about, like, Chewbacca having some sort of life debt to Han. But, like, we didn't know that watching the original trilogy. Like, the Wookiee was just his dude, his co-pilot, and his best friend. And
his pet
I love that. The idea of this film was I just wasn't interested in. Now, I will say though, I got a little spark of hope when Disney announced that they hired Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who did Lego Movie, which is excellent, and the very funny 21 Jump Street movies. These guys are creative geniuses, and I just thought, wow, if they're gonna hire these guys, maybe this could be good. And then the casting of Alden Ehrenreich as Han Solo and Childish Gambino, Donald Glover as Lando, it felt inspired.
Donal. It's actually pronounced Donal.
Is that right? The
Donal Glover.
That's who the Donal Award's actually named after. And then of course, Woody Harrelson, who I'd never not enjoy. And so I feel like, wow, a story that I'm really interested in, maybe this is something. Well, I don't need to rehash the whole story, but... let's just say things kind of came off the rails. 3 weeks before principal photography wrapped, we found out that Phil Lord and Chris Miller got fired because, well, there's all sorts of reports. We'll never know for sure. But the gist of it, it sounds like, is Kathleen Kennedy did not like their improvisational style, which is how they get a lot of the humor that they do, and that the tone they weren't loving, which is interesting considering these spinoffs are supposed to be tonally separate from the saga films. And they get fired and they get replaced with, maybe just the most boring vanilla director I could think of right now. That's a big name, and that's Ron Howard.
Wait, are you telling me that you haven't signed up for the Ron Howard masterclass of directing? The ads that I see all over Facebook constantly?
Look, I could pay the $90 it costs for that class, but are they going to give me a refund when they remove his course after his Me Too movement comes out or moment? Because they removed Kevin Spacey's and I did not get my deposit back. I'm kidding.
Well, if we're going to be honest, if it's going to be one Howard, it's probably going to be Clint.
His
creepy younger brother.
I would sign up for that. Oh my gosh.
Wait, are we going to see Clint Howard in the Star Wars movie? In this solo movie?
Yeah, he's in it.
Okay.
Of course he's in it. Anyway.
He's in the Chewbacca suit.
So we have been talking, you and I and Skylar, for a while about how bad we think this movie's going to be. Ron Howard, depending on which publication you read, he either reshot half of this film or all of this film. Who knows? He definitely didn't reshoot the whole thing, but he could have reshot up to half of this thing. I mean, they extended both the budget and the shooting schedule, like, extensively. Just they poured a lot more money into this. I guess because they want this, they want Ron Howard to be able to realize his vision and have this be similar to his work, like, I don't know, those Dan Brown movies he makes.
or Splash. What was the most
recent one after Da Vinci Code? God. That, gosh.
Da Vinci
so
Ultimatum?
Oh. Anyway, I should pay proper respect, though. There was a time when Ron Howard was doing creatively interesting things, you know.
Well, yeah, the first time he went to space, Apollo 13.
Yeah. Apollo 13 is great.
I'm not sure this one's going to... Exactly, Splash is good. I think didn't he direct Cocoon, maybe?
I think he did. No, he did, yeah. Cocoon, yeah. Absolutely.
He's a solid movie.
And the most recent film of his that I will say I enjoyed was Rush. Was he even on set for it? I don't know. I think it's just a brand that he lends his name to sometimes. He's got a string of bad films. His last 10 films, I think 8 or 9 of them are pretty bad. So,
I mean, it's to the point where they're not even watchable good. Like, it's not even passable.
Take the fact that Ron Howard's history out of it. Just take Ron Howard out of it. What director could come in 3 weeks before principal photography is done and actually salvage and make something good? What director has time to realize a vision when they weren't even there to come through? Like, you're handed someone else's stuff. And right. On the fly, you're adding to and taking away and setting up new stuff. Like, what director in the world could do that and have the finished product be something outstanding? I don't know. I don't know if it's possible.
It's not. Yeah. It's not at all possible. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So Ron Howard was brought in just as a safety net because he's the safest choice possible. We've
so
talked
safe.
About this.
So safe.
So I think that, like, part of the movie I'm going to be looking out for is any scene where there's comedy involved. Ron Howard didn't shoot that. He has no ear for comedy at this point. Or maybe if, I don't even know if he ever did. So
I want to do a little bit of a scene by scene breakdown here. It's not a very long trailer. Maybe not fully every scene, but I have. Let's go through some of these images.
Let's do it.
Before I do that, though, I will say, to your point on the comedic side, I couldn't help but shake the feeling throughout this trailer that, like, this film was really meant to be this kind of lighthearted, not taking itself seriously, a kind of comic romp, you know? Like, I think this was going to be very tonally different in very good ways, I think, than the Saga films. And that's the whole point of having these spinoffs. And that's why you bring in Phil Lord and Chris Miller. Who better than to do this lighthearted romp movie about, you know, Han Solo? Who better? And then you fire them. Then you fire them and you try and retroactively not make it so lighthearted. So basically, watching this, I could tell there's like in its DNA, there's like elements where, oh, I could see what they were probably originally trying to go for. Mm-hmm. And I can also see how it got completely just neutered.
I think it's very apparent from the what's happening, the actor's execution versus the tone that the music is trying to set, the editing, it is in stark contrast. This is a very bad sign. And you can already see it in the trailer.
Yeah, you know what else was a bad sign with that 45-second trailer? It was a bad sign when they didn't let the lead of the movie say any words or really show his face. Not a great sign. Not a great sign. Let's not let the people hear his Han Solo. I wouldn't call it an impression, but it's something.
I don't know what it is. And, you know, before we just completely rip on Alden Ehrenreich, I will say that I was a huge fan of him in the movie Hail Caesar. And I was excited that he got casted as Han Solo. But
I was 100% behind him for the casting of Han Solo. I will say, though, it makes me wonder if anyone was right for this role, because who wants to step into those shoes? Those shoes. I mean, like,
how about a de-aged Harrison Ford?
Dave Franco wanted to. He auditioned.
Did he really?
He dodged a bullet. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. This would have been a mess. This would have been a mess for Dave.
I can't even envision a Dave Franco Han Solo movie.
Well, that's, apparently neither could Lucas's film, because So this trailer starts with some good old fashioned dashboard switches on the Millennium Falcon getting flipped to the beat of this music, which actually isn't that bad of a start, I guess. And we get we get this shot of Han Solo. Well, we get the Lucasfilm logo. And I think for the first time in the history of any Star Wars film or Star Wars trailer, we got a good old rock track. They just laid down a rock track. They're just this. You just feel the like the amp, the distortion. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's like, oh,
it's very similar to the opening scene of Back to the Future when Marty hits that note after flipping all the switches on the amps. I think that's what they're going for with this opening sequence to the trailer here.
In the first line of dialogue, I've been running scams on the street since I was 10. Because I'm a scoundrel, baby. It's like, oh, dang, Han's been doing this since he was 10 on the streets. I'm already hearing the backstory that I was never interested in. Like, I'm already cringing, like, ooh. I mean, it's bad. So we get him riding in this car that I will say the car looks kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Going for a joyride. Looks like he's got a lady friend with him.
Mm-hmm.
She may look more or less impressed. More voiceover. Believe it or not, Han Solo was such a scoundrel. Dude got kicked out of Flight Academy. they just kicked him right out. Probably for insubordination, you know.
Well, he wanted to, his dream was to be the best pilot in the galaxy.
So. Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, because he says, I'm going to be a pilot, but not just not just any pilot. He's going to be the greatest pilot in the galaxy.
But the man held him down, so they kicked him out of flight school.
Well, yeah, you know, he plays fast and, you know, fast and loose with the rules.
You know what this is like? You ever watch like old 70s TV shows where the opening theme song is like the story of the character? This is what this feels like. The Han Solo.
Is this his
theme
West
song
Philadelphia,
right now.
Born and raised?
Yes, exactly. And I wish I had the ability to take his dialogue and put like a beat behind it, because it sounds like he's rapping his life story. Really I've been running scams since I was 10 years old.
And I cringe at the thought of where in the story is he saying this? In what context is he telling someone this?
I hope he's looking in the mirror when he's saying the dialogue.
I hope so. Oh my gosh. Stop me if I'm moving too fast.
What if he's talking to Jabba the Hutt?
His first Jabba meeting, like, Jabba, dude.
Can we put a bet
scam since I was 10.
Exactly. Can we put, and I hope it's the Jabba from the original, the unsuited or the uncostumed one.
The first filmed Jabba before George Lucas decided in Return of the Jedi to make him a slug.
Right, exactly. And where it was just like a fat guy in a vest.
By the way, better Jabba.
Oh, way better. Way better.
Oh, gosh, that was terrible. Anyway, going on in the trailer, we have a ray of sunshine. Woody Harrelson, which, if you're not, those of you watching on Facebook Live, I may or may not have ran to the closest barber and asked for the Woody Harrelson solo trailer cut, which is what I'm sporting right now.
You imagine you have a fan in your office that could just blow your hair back and forth?
I forgot we have some images. I was supposed to be showing these.
Okay, there you go.
But there he is, Woody Harrelson. And so I'm sporting, he's sporting the fresh, I like to say he's sporting the fresh D-Stoff cut.
Mm-hmm.
Because Woody and I single-handedly will take this haircut back from the alt-right. Here he is
again.
Oh,
look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that.
And I like to think that there's this face that Woody's making that's like he's unsure, but it almost looks like the look is of like, is that how you want to play, Han? Is that the way you want to do this
He's
role?
Very, very skeptical.
Yeah, yeah.
Of the acting choices.
I'm not positive that this was an actual scene. Like, this could be behind the scenes. And then we, let's take a moment here to talk about Alden and his dialogue and the way he's decided to perform it. Again, I should say, I do not, what was that? Did you hear that?
It's a helicopter, apparently my window.
What is going on over there? Anyway, I thought it was like coming through the trailer and the image. I was like, was there a helicopter in this scene?
No, it's a helicopter right outside my window.
Oh, Los Angeles. So Alden is right at this point. We have Woody Harrelson given the classic line. He's putting together a crew, you know, because that's what you do. You put together a crew of the best gangsters and scoundrels in the galaxy. And he asks if he wants in. And of course, Chewbacca responds with a classic Chewbacca growl. And then, you know, like a good guy, Han decides to interpret that for Woody Harrelson by telling him, I believe the words were, "That's yes." but this was the real first line of dialogue that I hit the panic button. I sounded the alarm because it's performed.
Yeah, it's really bad. And if you look at the expression on Alden's face, the line delivery is just. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Does it not look like someone who's trying to do the Harrison scowl?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You're right.
So it's weird. I'll cut to the chase and say my overall evaluation of his dialogue and the way he's performing the lines is it feels like someone who went initially all out into this Han Solo Harrison Ford impersonation that was so over the top. Like, just he went all out. That they had to pull him aside and say, we can't have you do it that strong. We're going to need you to rein it in, like, in a big way. And he's delivering these lines like someone whose confidence is shattered. And he's trying to play it as cool but muted as possible. And it's, like, really weird and stilted. And, like, you can tell he tries to add in a, like, inflection of Han Solo, but, like, he does it in weird places that isn't Han Solo.
Right, no, he's trying to exude some sort of attitude. And here's the thing. If they had gone with the Lord and Miller version of the the funny Solo movie, that probably works. It probably works really well.
Oh, absolutely.
But if they're going to go with the serious tone, I don't see how it's possible that his deliveries can work.
Gosh. Well,
I think...
speaking of not serious, I think we got a look at our first villain as well. Wearing what appears to be a modified Kylo Ren mask and fur coat.
No.
I think the same one that Money Mayweather was wearing last night at the Super Bowl.
I mean, that visor, he looks like Cyclops from the X-Men.
He absolutely does. He absolutely does.
That is a good look.
And here he is with his Knights of Ren.
In this
diagonal sand shot. I'll admit I zoomed in on every one of these people in the background here, mm-hmm. and every one of them looks pretty terrible.
I mean, they kind of look like space juggalos.
It's not great. It's not great.
It's a bad look.
Maybe one of the most incredible scenes is Emilia Clarke of Terminator Genesis and Game of Thrones fame, mm-hmm. telling Han that she might be the only person who knows who he really is. Aaron, can I ask you, who is he really? What's the secret she holds that's...
I don't know, and why would it even be important?
Han seems to be pretty, like, surface level. He's kind of is who he is. It doesn't seem like he's hiding who he is. He's pretty much out there. He puts himself out there.
Yeah, I don't even understand what the stakes are, why she would say something like that. Can I just bring up for 1 second, early shot outdoors, he's wearing some sort of fur coat, and that is extremely problematic. Yes.
Oh, this one. Well, you can see there's a theme. There's fur, and that's real. I mean, it looks like real.
Oh, that's real fur. I mean, that's a real fur coat, and that's
Peter's
not
gonna
cool.
Peter's going to have a heyday with this movie.
Not cool, Han. And that's just disrespectful to Chewie. I mean, come on.
That's what I'm saying. Is like it's Wookiee fur. That's the thing.
Well, there's no doubt.
Do we know that it's not the fur of Chewbacca's family? I mean, do we not know that? I don't know.
We aren't sure. That's for sure.
No.
These bad guys are just incredible. I can't wait.
It looks like a bad, like that's this angled scene looks just like a Power Rangers episode. It really does. I mean, like, it looks like a Power Ranger. Like the costumes look terrible.
Those were the last costumes left in the costume department. They're like, just bring me anything that fits.
Yeah. Or Ron comes in the set and he's adding his scenes. He's like, do they have any leftover stuff from the Power Rangers film they shot 6 months ago? We could use some of their stuff, because do they? Oh boy. She might be the only person who knows who he really is, which is a scoundrel, which at the very beginning of this trailer, he tells everyone he is. No secret, mm-hmm. by the way. She's not the only one who knows. Everyone knows.
Incredible.
Been doing it since he was 10. My goodness. His response, by the way.
Oh, it's gold. It's the best part of this trailer.
Yeah. I think the words are, who's that? He's laughing. He's like,
I mean, he literally looks high in this still. In the scene, he looks high as well. Well, his delivery would suggest that he's high.
Dude, it's just bad.
Rough.
Now, can we talk about who wasn't bad?
I think universally everyone approves of Mr. Donald Glover.
Oh, Donald.
As Lando.
It's amazing. It's amazing because, one, why didn't they just feature the heck out of him in this? That would have everyone would have loved that. It's a win. I mean, that's an easy win. But they didn't feature him at all. In fact, he doesn't really have any dialogue. I think he yells no at the end of the trailer. But yeah. This scene, you can tell he just lands the like Lando charisma and charm. The mm-hmm. smile. He goes from like kind of the straight face to flashing that smile, and it's just money. Like this is a good moment.
Yeah, I'm wondering. Just even seeing this, no dialogue from Donald Glover, but I'm wondering if there's a possible way that they can recut this and make this a Lando movie instead of Solo.
Yeah. Oh, I shared that tweet with you with you guys that honestly definitely resonated with me. That this guy, I don't even know who he is, but he talks about where is it? I'm pulling it up. That he is he has just enough self doubt to feel genuinely bad for the guy that gets cast as Han Solo in the Han Solo movie, only to have everyone freak out about Lando.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's what happened.
He's the most exciting part, without a doubt.
Oh, no. Well, that's everyone. Everyone under it all exploded. I'm just like, Lando! Everyone. I mean, Alden, his confidence is already broken, and he's already crushed. And if some of these
will he ever recover from this?
Well, yeah. And then this gets dropped, and they're like, "Hey, dude, everyone loved your co-star, and like nobody loved you." That's a hard.
Exactly.
It's a hard thing because, yeah. Again, the gig of playing Han Solo is one I don't envy. So.
Here's my only hope that Donald Glover steals the movie.
Is it Danny? I think you mean Danny.
Yeah, Danny Glover, exactly. If he can steal the movie, then maybe it's salvageable. Maybe it's an entertaining movie.
Maybe.
If Lando is just so, like, just pops
off
the screen
every chance. Is there enough of him that he could steal it?
Probably not.
I mean, if the trailer's any indication. So this is one of the great things about new Star Wars films is that we get these awesome new droids, like BB-8 mm-hmm. is amazing. K-2SO, great. The Imperial BB-8 that we saw for 2 seconds in Last Jedi, allegedly really cool too. And then we have the I think this is one of those Bluetooth controlled app, like iPhone app robots.
that like not exactly the most interesting design for a robot.
It's not really taking any bold moves in the new robot tech department.
No. I just don't like him. Just looking at his
they
design.
They took a Roomba and made his head out of a Roomba. And then, like, I don't know, the rest of his body just looks like any other generic robot I've ever seen.
Really bad. Really poor design.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, think about this. Whoever designed that this was his dream, or his or her dream, that they get a chance to design a droid for a Star Wars movie, and that's the best they can come up with.
They told their family this past Thanksgiving, like, guys, I'm not supposed to tell anyone yet, but like, I've had the rule of a lifetime. I've got to design a droid for the new Star Wars film. You guys are going to see it.
Without a doubt. And, without a doubt, they grew up wanting to work on movies like Star Wars.
Of course. And they and you know, it makes me wonder if he did this thing where like they want three designs to choose from, right? And there's this popular method of like when you're trying to get work approved, the term is like you throw in like a goat that's meant to be slaughtered, right? Mm-hmm. The goat that's not supposed to get picked. It's like the sacrificial, like you throw in the goat so the people could just kill it. And they never pick it, right? But you anchor it by including something that's really bad. I feel like this was his goat of the models that he had. It's like, okay, here's the really bad one. So like it can kind of anchor what they know is good. And so they'll pick one.
Yeah, no one's ever going to pick this one.
They picked his goat. And he was just like, no, guys. And it was just like Ron was like, no, I don't go back on decisions.
I'm sold.
If I make a decision, it's final.
Gosh.
And they put
Ron Howard, didn't he do Batteries Not Included? Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, of course I do.
That looks like one of the Batteries Not Included.
Not Included?
I'm going to have to check that.
Did he repurpose some props from the Batteries Not Included set from the early 90s, late 80s? When was that? My goodness.
Please tell me Ron Howard directed that. Oh, no, he didn't.
Okay, I had never heard that, though I wouldn't have been totally surprised.
Look at the design. Look at the design of that droid.
Is it similar?
The head is very similar.
Why not? Look, if you're just going to just completely use a well-known design, throw in Johnny Five from Short Circuit.
Oh, I would absolutely be behind that.
Because at least it'd be interesting. It'd be a cool one, one I like, you know. I'm not looking forward to how they're going to get C-3PO cameo in this film. But they are. We are definitely going to see him in this. Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
well,
gosh.
The good thing here, the silver lining is this actually wasn't the last poor piece of design work that we were going to see in this trailer. We get the logo stinger of Solo, A Star Wars, combined with this music track that makes it seem like this was like a Disney XD promo for like Star Wars Rebels, which is a show I like, but is executed in a very different artistic way. This thing looked like some shoddy After Effects work. Like, I think they just bought a template. I think they went on and just bought this out-of-the-box template. It looks so bad and feels so lo-fi that I just can't believe this type of stuff gets approved and included in the trailer. They're supposed to want us to, like, be excited for this film. Not, like, I mean,
there are so many confounding choices, like so many decisions that they make in this trailer. Like, this is not even the final product. This is not even the final movie. We're talking about the trailer here, and it is bad decision after bad decision.
And it was inevitable. It was inevitable that Disney was going to make a bad Star Wars film, right? The first three I've enjoyed tremendously. First three, post Disney acquisition. Of course, it was going to be inevitable. A bad one would be inevitable. And it's definitely this one. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I'll admit that I've been playing a psychological trick on myself by repeatedly telling myself and others how bad this movie's going to be. So if it even happens to be just like slightly below average, or even average, then I would get like a lot of value out of it because I tricked myself. I psyched myself out into having these really low expectations.
Mm-hmm.
But then this trailer comes out and unbelievably, against all odds, it looks worse than I was expecting.
That's the key for me. I had zero expectations going into this, and somehow this was below
unbelievable
the expectations. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I feel bad for everyone involved in this, and the movie hasn't even come out yet. So, it all signs point to this being a disaster. And I think that, we talked about this. There had to be a discussion at some point where Disney just said, why don't we pull the plug on this?
Oh, absolutely.
Because,
yes.
I mean, this is going to hurt the franchise if we release it.
Well, Pixar, it's a famous thing. Pixar has done that with one film in particular. But they've done that one film that were very far along in the process. And it was clear that they were not going to get what they wanted. And Pixar had this track record of just, dynamite success after dynamite success. And so they pulled the plug, which I think is an incredibly brave artistic thing to do.
Was that movie The Good Dinosaur?
Oh my gosh, I know. I know, right. Talk about them doing the right thing and then abandoning those principles and releasing The Good Dinosaur. But with Star Wars, honestly, I feel like Kathleen Kennedy would do that. I actually do think she cares enough that she would do that, but not to a film that already been sunk probably $100 million plus into it and was 3 weeks away from being done filming. That might have been just too far to pull the plug. And also, might have been Bob Iger's.
Just probably. And also because they know that regardless of whatever they put out, it's going to make a ton of money. So even if they put out a bad movie. It's gonna return tenfold, whatever.
Look, I'm seeing this opening night, just to be clear.
Sure.
Makes me wonder, how many days till Phil Lord and Chris Miller go and check it out in the theater? Can they go to the theater? They can't be seeing it, can they?
I think this is a movie where they have to see how bad it was screwed up.
I think they're the types of guys that actually would want to go and see and like laugh throughout. By the way, they're going to be in the credits. They worked on this way too long, and the union rules, you know, for Directors Guild and others, like, I don't know if they're going to get a co-story credit or
It'll be interesting to see how they address
co-directing?
That.
I mean, that...
Yeah.
Yeah. Could they be like, we don't want it? Like, like Tarantino?
I don't even know if they can refuse it. I don't think they can refuse
No,
it.
No, that's the crazy
obligated.
Thing is I don't think they can. Without relinquishing their Directors Guild membership, which is so ridiculous. But anyway. So I'm seeing it opening night. I'm giving them my money.
What's the release date on this?
Memorial
Day.
May
something?
May.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah. Amazing that it's that soon, and this is the first official imagery or any video clip of any kind that we've seen of this. That's how little they believe in this film. It really is.
It's going to be disaster, and I can't wait to see it unfold on the screen.
I'm hoping that it's so bad that it's enjoyable. I'm hoping that it's such a train wreck that I'm like, oh, good, it's the type of train wreck that I can't look away from, right? Like, rather than just the cringy, like, oh, gosh, this could have been good in some alternate universe. Or maybe there's a version of this that was good, but it's clearly just lost. Anyway, so you and I are pretty super high on this film. Look, you know I'm a big, big, big Star Wars fan. And I believe The Last Jedi was a masterpiece. I saw it for the 7th time recently. Yeah. That's not a joke. 7 times. And it gets better every time. It really does. I just, the power of that movie. Ryan Johnson is such a masterful filmmaker and storyteller. I just really think it's a special thing. And you obviously had a very different experience with The Last Jedi. And I'm willing to give Star Wars the benefit of the doubt. I'm willing to be like overly positive. I'm willing to look past flaws. Sure. I'm not willing to look past this.
How many times did you see Rogue One in theaters?
3 or 4.
Okay. How many times, like, I'm going to make you commit right now. How many times will you watch Solo?
Oh, I'll say it once.
That's twice. All you're going to commit twice. To is one?
I'll go twice.
Okay. All right. Yeah, do I hear three?
Well, depends. If it's, again, if it's a train wreck I can't look away from, I'll see it 5, 6 times. I mean, I'll keep going back.
Can we remind our listeners and viewers what is the one movie you've seen in the movie theater more than any other movie?
It won't surprise you. Anyone who knows who I am and movies I love, I mean, it's a classic. I've seen it more than any other film in history my entire life in theater. The Replacements, starring Keanu Reeves and Gene Hackman. It's a movie about football players replacing football players, standing in for professional players who were on strike. It's just such a good movie with a really heartwarming story, and it's really funny. I had Orlando Jones from those 7-Up commercials, and a grumpy Gene Hackman who didn't want to.
How many
be
times
there.
Did you see it in the theater?
I saw it 10 times. I saw 10 times in theaters. There's 10 times, double digits. They're good reason. Good reason.
10 viewings.
Good reason. I was living next door to a movie theater in a hotel at the time because my family got moved out of our home because it got taken over because of toxic mold. And they made us stay in a hotel for 6 months. And it was right next to the movie theater that eventually I would work out with you. And I just hung out at the movie theaters all day long, and The Replacements just struck a chord with me at that point in my life, and I was just like, heck, I'm going to see this thing 10 times, and I did.
Yeah, it's a movie that's very rewatchable.
It is. It comes on TNT, and I'm like, this is, it's like the scene in the prison where they're all dancing together to the Commodores, or not to the Commodores, to the Survivor song. What's it, what is it?
Yeah. It's, isn't it Gloria Gaynor or something?
Yeah.
I Will Survive. Yeah.
I Will Survive. That's what it is. I Will Survive, not the Commodores.
Yeah.
Is that the, no? That is the Commodores, isn't it? I Will Survive.
No, it's Gloria Gaynor.
Gloria Gaynor. No, you're right.
Disco.
Right. The Commodores is Orlando Jones. That's right. He says he refused to dance because he's like, I only listen to the Commodores. That's why.
Yeah.
That's only I would know that because I've seen it 10 times. Dude, if I'm flipping through and it's it's on TBS or Spike or whatever. I stop and I go, oh, is the deaf dude about to score a touchdown? I gotta wait. I gotta watch this.
It's a top five Keanu performance.
Oh, dude.
Also, Paul Bettany as the kicker. Incredible. Yeah, as the smoking kicker.
He's really good. With a lot of debt, by the way. He's got some he's got some sharks after him. He's in with bad people.
I will say a loose connection that I have for Paul Bettany. He was in the Manhunt Unabomber movie as the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. He was incredible. Incredible as Paul Ted Bettany? Kaczynski. Yes. He's super, super good as Ted Kaczynski.
You know Paul Bettany is in this Solo film.
Is he really?
Yeah. So he's good friends with Ron Howard. You know, he's been in his Da Vinci Code movies and others. Right. Apparently there was a role originally filmed with guy that plays
Kevin
Omar
Spacey.
In The Wire. Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Michael K. Williams.
Yep.
So he plays a character. Unclear if it was like mocap or not. Like, it's kind of tight-lipped. But he had a role. As part of Ron Howard's reshoots, they had to redo that role. But Michael K. Williams was shooting another movie in, like, Europe or something. And he actually couldn't. He was somewhere far, and he couldn't make it work. And so, you know, who better to replace Michael K. Williams with than Paul Bettany?
He's a good actor.
I actually do like him.
Yeah.
He's a little flat on the in these Avengers films, but a little monotone. He's married to Jennifer Connelly, I believe. Anyway.
He's a hero then. Yeah. He's an absolute hero.
Well, we've gone longer than I thought we would. I'm sorry.
Well, it's a compelling trailer, so I mean, we have a lot to unpack with
I want people to come at us right now. If you're listening and you're upset about how much we poo-pooed on this thing, please tell us how we're wrong. Tell us we're wrong. Give the reasons why. I want to know why people, if people love it, why. I really do.
Well, we know one person that loved it.
We do.
It's B-Mort. Yeah. That's our buddy B-Mort.
But, yeah, but B-Mort loves everything he sees for the first time, so.
He's literally a human puppy. I mean,
he really
you
is.
Put something in new
most
in front
endearing,
of him.
In the most endearing way. He really
of
is.
Of course. Yeah. It's all love. That's a good thing.
I can't tell you how grateful I am to have that man in a text thread.
Really. He's solid gold.
Really,
I wish we could share what was that? What happens in those?
I do too, but we absolutely cannot.
No. I mean, we all signed NDAs. So.
We did. Yeah. Yes, we did. Anyway, thanks for jumping on for a podcast. Podcast after dark. Podcast after midnight.
That's right.
After I don't know what midnight. To call it. at midnight, starring Chris Hardwick. We're gonna be. We'll be up next. Talking Cloverfield with Skylar in the near future here. And then I think the next marquee film release is actually Black Panther in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you had asked on the last pod, like, I don't even know what the next big movie is, and I didn't either. And
yeah,
then I'm like, oh, yeah, Black Panther. That would be the one. So, Sacramento native, proud son, Ryan Coogler directed it. So I'm really excited. I loved his work in Fruitvale Station. Met him at Sundance when I saw it there. Obviously,
did
Creed.
Oh, yeah, he's incredible. Dude, he's a great director.
He's a really great director.
One of the best up-and-coming directors there in Hollywood right now. Did you see any of the red carpet photos from the premiere?
Yes, I did, actually. He was wearing, like, some, like, like African kind of, some sort of, like, ceremonial scarf.
Right. So that's what I thought, too. And so Marvel posted that photo of him. He's wearing this, like, some sort of, like, a wrap, basically. And the first Twitter comment was, does anyone know, it's just a white person saying, does anyone know what the name of that garment that Ryan Coogler is wearing around his neck? The guy who designed the garment chimed in and said, it's called a scarf.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Amazing, amazing Twitter moment.
Wow. He was able to write it with a pretentious tone, too.
Oh, 1,000%.
It's called a scarf.
It's called a scarf, and I designed it. There's something to that effect.
Amazing.
Incredible. Incredible Amazing. Twitter moment.
Can I ask you a question? If you had helped out on that movie, starring role, and you're getting ready to go on the red carpet, and they hand you one, they're like, hey, we're just the crew is kind of wearing these to be unified. Do you wear it?
Oh, I'm wearing it. I'm wearing two. Give me two. I'm going bandolier.
The only thing that's going through my mind is like, I ain't about to make the front page of Reddit for all the wrong reasons. Not tonight. Not tonight. I know what I look like. I wouldn't be doing this justice.
I don't think that everyone can pull off that.
No.
Particular
I certainly am someone that could not.
But Coogler did. I mean, he looked amazing.
Dude, he looked great. That's the thing, too. Yeah. Like, it looked awesome. Like, it looks, like, sharp. Anyway, I'm really excited about him. I hope we give him one of the – Sacramento's got a new Walk of Fame in Midtown, and, you know, only a handful of people are on there. I think we're putting Greta on there.
What about the chef Burton. That gave Kobe Bryant food poisoning?
The burger. It's actually the burger that's sold at the Hyatt Regency that gave Kobe food poisoning in the 2002 playoffs. That burger has a star on our Walk of Fame. Absolutely. Anyway, I want to give Ryan Coogler, who also, he went to Sac State. I mean,
nice.
So it's fun seeing, Sacramento directors up and coming.
Now, do we, up until what point did he live in Sacramento? Do we know the years?
Don't look into it too closely.
Okay.
He may or may not have spent a majority of his upbringing in the Bay Area.
Okay.
But he came
out. I was going to say, if he was in the early 2000s, perhaps, in Sacramento,
he's not a
maybe he went. Maybe he went to the Folsom movie theater and we served him.
Oh. It's possible.
It's very possible. We had many celebrities coming.
I think he moved out to Sacramento for college for Sac State. But I mean, he lived like an hour outside of Sacramento, so it's technically the Bay Area.
Got it.
Yeah. Anyway, Sacramento is not the Bay Area. To be clear.
Well, we learned that from watching Lady Bird.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. Oh yeah. All right, Aaron. Thanks for joining me, man.
Of course, anytime.
Late night. You had a heck of a night, by the way.
Oh,
do you want to tell the people what happened quickly?
Just real quick, we decided to buy, yesterday my wife decided that we should buy a new car. So
not just any car.
Do we really want it? It's an Audi. It's an Audi Q7.
Hey, flaunt it, man. That's exciting.
It is exciting. It is exciting. She just got a new job, and so I said, get a new car. You deserve it.
New car, new job.
So yeah. So yesterday during the Super Bowl, we turned it off in halftime and we went to CarMax and we decided to finish it up today. And so we go in there and, you know, CarMax is the whole selling point is no hassle, no haggle, whatever. Yeah.
Wait, so did you test drive it yesterday?
Yeah, we test drove it yesterday
and
just
you were
to make
sold
sure
immediately.
Exactly. 1,000%. So yeah, we go in today to just do the whole process, trade in my old car and whatnot. And we're there for 4 hours. I mean, that's a bit of a hassle.
That sounds like hassle to me.
It's a hassle, and it was a little bit of a haggle too, as well. I mean, if I'm going
to
be honest.
Wow.
But
they try to get you to buy their insurance. I know that.
Much upselling.
Warranty.
It's insane.
Warranty is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
But you're the only proud owner of an Audi A3.
It's actually a
Q3.
So it's the small SUV.
Oh, what year?
It's 2016.
Wow.
Had 20,000 miles on it.
That's a new car.
Yeah, brand new car. It's gorgeous. It's absolutely stunning.
Dude, gotta send me a picture. That's exciting. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. We're very happy to have it done. And so that's what I was doing tonight.
Acura is Lindsay's dream car, by the way.
Which one?
There's a handful of models. She'll point them out as we drive by them. A3 is one of them, but like there's several that she loves. Just Acuras in general. She wanted an Acura, but instead I made her get a Honda Fit, which isn't the same at all. We also, you know.
Did she like the Honda Fit?
Oh, not at all. It's my car.
Okay.
Yeah, the second car is her car, and that one she picked out. And okay. I mean, again, cheaper than an Acura.
What did you guys get?
We got it in Utah. We wanted a four-wheel drive, like a small kind of a SUV, a crossover SUV, and we got the Mazda CX-5.
Yes. Okay. So we looked at that one.
Dude, I love it. I actually love the car. Honestly, everything about the car, the way it handles, the way it drives, I'm a big fan. But ain't no Audi.
It's no Audi, man. There's something about that Audi. It's really, really cool to look at. So, the thing is, yeah, she's super excited. She deserves it. I mean, she got an awesome job all on her own.
Yeah. Director level.
Director level. She's an executive kind of.
That's exciting.
Almost. It's very exciting. And I will say that watching the Super Bowl, the commercials where MLK told us to buy a new car, I think it inspired me. So
well, that's the
thank
thing.
You, MLK.
That's how we should be using our civil rights icons in this day and age. You know,
I mean, it's cars. Convenient that he was such a huge proponent of selling cars. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I would have been offended if it wasn't like a well-known fact that Martin Luther King Jr. only drove a Dodge Ram exclusively his entire life. Big Dodge guy.
Huge Dodge guy.
I just have no idea how the amount of people that an ad has to go through at a company like that, especially for a Super Bowl ad, the amount of people that felt like this is the right thing to do. okay thing to do. It's unbelievable.
It's pretty embarrassing, especially when you find out the fact that MLK actually had recorded speeches where he literally talked about not falling into the trap of keeping up with the Joneses by buying cars to one-up your neighbor.
Oh, if you think the folks who made that Dodge ad have seen any other speeches of his other than that one, you would be sorely mistaken. Sorely mistaken.
I have a dream to finance this new Dodge Ram.
Gosh, it's just how tone deaf. I guess what?
But it worked because I bought a new car. Yeah. Oh man. Good times.
Well, all right, man. Go to bed. Don't have nightmares about this Solo film.
Oof.
I tell you what. We're gonna have fun. We're gonna have fun talking about it when it comes out. And
I think that we should do a brave little get together and all watch Solo together.
We should do that. Yeah.
Very first time.
Ever. Not by ourselves. Not solo.
No.
Together.
Can we rent out a theater to watch Solo?
We could. We have it in the budget. I was budgeting for our Brave. When I was doing the Brave Little Budget for 2018, mm-hmm. we have just enough to rent out.
For theater. One theater showing?
The cost of renting out a theater is paying the full price ticket of every single seat in the theater.
Okay.
That's the cost. Because we've done it here or at my work. And I think we could do that and just use the three seats for you, me, and Skylar.
So what if we actually got like 100 people together, got the small theater, and we each had movie pass?
How does that work?
That's disrupting the system right there. We all reserve our seats using movie pass.
Ooh. For a theater.
And that turns into a private screening.
Oh. Dude, imagine if we could hack our movie passes for reuse and just book every single ticket.
It's brilliant. I mean, we are true disruptors of the industry.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, brave little listeners out there, if any of you are interested in joining us as we rent out a theater to watch Solo, let us know. We'll send you an invite. Anyway,
oh man.
I want to go to bed. It's 1:30 in Utah right now.
Well, I mean, say goodnight to the cleaning lady that is behind you. She's been walking back and forth.
It startled me at first. And then I realized she wants some airtime.
She was looking directly
into the
camera.
Frame, and she keeps going by. And I'm like, I think you got this area. I think this area is done. But she's like, I gotta get. There's just enough room in the frame. So anyway, this was just supposed to be a pod
time.
Between you and I, but it turned out to be a tripod. There's the three of us. Anyway, I should go out and ask her what she thought of the trailer. get her thoughts.
Can you show it to her real quick? Let's hear what the hot take is.
She's just going to grimace the whole time. all right, man. Well,
all right, buddy.
Have a good night. Enjoy your Audi. Let's talk closer real
right.
soon. And as we say,
hold on to your butts.
Thank you for listening to the Brave Little Podcast. Hold on to your butts.